Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. We thank you for coming. And let's bow our heads for a word of prayer again. Father, this morning we worship you. We love you. We thank you for the great gift, the precious blood of Jesus, the provision that you've given to mankind today. I pray that you'd bless the word and give us clarity and unction to share the word of God today. In Jesus' name, amen. Appreciate the things that we've already heard this morning. And this morning I've been meditating in the last day or so on the book of Peter. Brother James talked about where Jesus came and called Peter and James and John to follow him, and they dropped what they were doing and they followed him. And Peter is one that followed him all the rest of his life. There was a time, I'm sure, he wavered a few times, but from the day of Pentecost on, it seemed like he was on fire for God, and he was a tremendous blessing in the work of God. And I was really blessed with some of the things that, in just meditating on his writing, on the writings of Peter, there are some things that stand out that are very typical in his writings, some things that he has a beautiful way of bringing out the beauty of God's work. And with that, what our response to that should be. A couple things that stood out to me as I read this pretty much through, especially the first Peter. He speaks much about the blood. He makes much of the blood. He makes much of the resurrection. He makes much about suffering. Suffering just comes up over and over and over in the book of Peter. And another thing that is I see in the whole entire focus, I see his passion for holiness. And to see holiness coming out of God's people. And I guess that's pretty much the title of my message this morning, would be that of 1 Peter 1, verse 16, where it says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And he leads us up to that through his beautiful way of describing the work of God and how that we should respond to that, with surrendering our lives to God and completely giving ourselves to God, like Brother James shared this morning. Also, he brings out quite a bit through his writings is about obedience. Obedience is a result of that beautiful work that God has done for us. It's that response that we have toward God because of the wonderful work that he's done for us. And in this all, the result of it is sanctification and purification of our souls, that we become more like him every day. And one word that is typical of Peter's writings that I have not seen in any, as I look through the concordance, there's no other writer uses this word like Peter does, is the word precious. I think it was 7 times in 1 Peter where he uses the word precious in relating to our salvation, in relating to Christ, the rock, the precious stone, the precious rock, the precious blood. No other writer refers to it in that way. As I've notice, and it just stands out how Peter holds God's provision and God's work to be precious to his heart. And it's his passion was that we, that his followers would have that same passion to see the preciousness of the work of God in our hearts. And the things that are precious, and he talks about, one thing that he talks about that is precious is the trial of our faith. Do we look at the trials that we go through as being precious? That's what Peter calls it. He says it's precious, the trials of our faith, the trial of your faith being more precious than gold. And he talks about the blood of Jesus Christ, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And he talks about the precious promises. That's in 2 Peter. And he talks about the precious faith. And I thought that was really a special that Peter, and I see that, is his emphasis throughout the book of how he brings out the preciousness of the work of God for man. I think we'll read, I'll begin reading in 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read the first 12 verses. And let's notice how he so dramatically describes the preciousness of God's work. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now that's another thing that was interesting in reading the book of Peter. You know, he addressed it to different people from different places. It's not really, you can't really tell from his writings whether he's necessarily writing to the Greeks or the heathens or whether he's writing to the Jews. It's pretty much a general message to Christian people. And it also, it's not affected a lot by, he doesn't write a lot about the different traditions and influences of different cultures. It's pretty much a general basic Christian faith message to all men. And I believe it's absolutely vital for us today as much as it ever was to anyone else. So we see here that he wrote to all these different people, which I believe that we could put Bedford right in with that same in that list as well. It says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. When ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, who do minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. I'm just overwhelmed with the beauty of this message this morning, of the provision of God in the work that God has done. It says that God, it says he in verse 3, blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus. You know, we live here with, we live our life with one thing in before us. We have a living hope which gives us something to live for. We have a hope of heaven which has a substance to it. It has a foundation for it. And we can face the future with confidence and with assurance of heaven as we walk with God, as we have our faith in Jesus Christ, that we have that salvation, we have that security that we have in Him, that we have a living hope. We don't have a hope that is not, that we don't have a hope that we don't know for sure. We have a hope that we can know for sure. The hope that is alive, that is real, and it's dwelling within us. It's a part of us. It's dwelling within us today. It's a abiding presence within us. This is that living hope that we have become ours to experience through faith in the shed blood of Jesus, to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled. It fadeth not away. It's reserved in heaven for you. That's the confidence that we can have in our God this morning, that we have a hope. We have a heaven that is reserved for us. We have an inheritance that is incorruptible and it's undefiled. We may have a lot of things saved up here in this time. We may have a lot of things to our name, but these things aren't going to mean anything before us as we stand before God. But we have something far greater than that that is saved up for us in heaven. We have a mansion in heaven. We have a life, an eternal life in heaven. And this is what we keep before us. This is the goal that we set before us, that we look forward with faith in that finished work of Jesus and that complete salvation that is ours by walking by faith in Jesus. We are kept by the power of God, by faith, ready to be revealed in the last time. Then he talks about this, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season. We're here for a season. It's just a season that we're passing through. You know how our seasons pass, spring, summer, winter, fall, so fast. And now that's what our life is about. We're just going through a season. We're in the middle of summer right now, and you know it won't be long till it's all gone. And that's just how our life is. We're just passing through a season. And during this season, we have temptations. We have seasons of trials and temptations. But these things come to pass. They just pass. We pass through these times. And we can look, as long as we keep the heaven in view, as long as we keep our eternal reward in view, we can rejoice even though we're passing through these things. Because we can be tried. It says, even though we're tried with fire, then it can result in that which would bring praise and glory to our God. That's the normal Christian life. There are trials. There are tribulations. There is fiery trials. But it brings glory to God when we allow that for his trial to have his perfect work in our heart.
And it can be precious. It can be precious. Do we consider our trials to be precious?
That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. This is something that is received now. We receive by faith, we receive Christ and experience that joy of knowing Him because we believe the Word of God and we believe in the Lord Jesus and we experience His reality in our heart and in our life. And then it talks about the prophets. Did you ever think about it? The prophets, they talked about this. They talked about Jesus. They talked about this great salvation. Isaiah talked a lot about how Jesus was going to be, about the sufferings of Jesus, about the salvation of Jesus. And all the prophets referred to Jesus in some way, sometime. And they knew about Him, but they never got to see Him. They never got to see Him like we do. They never experienced Him like we do. We are privileged people. We have a precious opportunity. They searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ was in him did signify. And when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto them, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported to you by them that have preached the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels even desire to look into. This is precious. This salvation, it is this provision, this mystery was revealed to us today. The prophets wanted to see it. The angels wanted to see it. This morning it's opened up to us. We have the opportunity to see and experience this great salvation, this precious gift of God. It's ours today. Praise God. Even the angels desire to look into it. We have something that will take us through time and eternity. We have something that will carry us forward through every trial, every circumstance, every situation. God's going to be there. He's going to lift us up. He's going to carry us through unto the eternity. Then in verse 13 it says, wherefore, this is the beautiful message I see. All this beautiful thing that we have. Then he says, wherefore, because of this, because we have this precious salvation, this precious gift of life, this precious experience of deliverance, because of this, he says, gird up the loins of your minds, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy.
Somebody tell me, what's holy? What's holy mean? How do we be holy? Anybody have a definition for holy? Righteous? Mark? Amen. Abner, do you have some? Mm-hmm. Amen.
I like what it says here about obedient children. You know, little children like to be like their daddy. Little girls like to be like mommy and do what mommy does. Little boys like to be like daddy and do what daddy does. Shouldn't the same motivation be in us? As obedient children, we want to be like God. We want to think like He does. We want to love what He loves. We want to hate what He hates. If we get this mentality as obedient children, we want to fashion ourselves like God. We want to conduct our life like God would want us to. I see a beautiful thing here. As I was thinking about the word holy, the thing that I could see of was, holy is God. And we're supposed to be holy, just be like God. And we can only do that, like you said, through the grace of God working in us. God's Spirit and righteousness within us, that we have that motivation to be like God. To be, follow the pattern that Jesus gave to us. We want to be like Jesus. We want to love the things that He loved. We want to hate the things that He hated. Holiness. That's my challenge to us this morning. What is the motivation? Do we see this precious gift of life? Something that others would have loved to have. And today we have it right here. Eternal gift of salvation. Let's be like obedient children and have that passion to be like God, to be like Jesus. It's like Jesus told the disciples, the shared devotion this morning. He says, follow me. Follow me is what Jesus is saying to us. And if we see that tremendous, beautiful, precious salvation that Jesus brought to us, that will be our passion to follow Jesus, to follow in His footsteps, to follow as He leads us, to follow the Spirit of God as it leads us according to the Word of God, that our life can bring glory to God, that Jesus can be glorified. We know outside of that, life is a mess. We see it all around us. People that try to make their own life. They try to do their own thing. And they end up making a mess out of everything. But God has a beautiful path for His people to walk in. Yes, there will be suffering. Yes, there will be fire. There will be purifying.
But it can be a beautiful thing. It can bring out the glory of God. It can bring out the beautiful things of righteousness and peace and the Holy Ghost. For if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know, here it talks about passing. It says, pass the time of your sojourning here. Okay, that's what we're in right now. We're passing the time of our sojourning here. We're here. We're passing through this time. And it says, for you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold and vain conversations received by traditions of men. What is the emphasis of our passing through here, our sojourning? I know we can't seem to pass through here without some silver and gold. But what is it that we love the most? What is it that is the motivation and the joy of our heart? Is our focus mainly on the silver and gold and on the other things of life? Or is our heart wholly surrendered and walking after God? Is the precious blood of Jesus Christ, is that the thing that holds our attention? Is that the thing that we worship? Is that the thing that we love above all else? Or is there other things that we love more than we love that? I believe if our love and our affection is set on Jesus Christ, then we will be like obedient children, wanting to fashion ourselves like God. We want to do the work that God wants done. We'll want to be the example that God wants. We'll want to bring glory to God, rather than to try to pleasing ourselves with all kinds of things of this world. Carnal, what's it called? Corruptible things. These corruptible things are all going to pass away. But our life is going to go on. Only as we have our faith in the Lord Jesus and our love and our affection is set on Him, that we will experience eternity in heaven. With the precious blood of Christ, Jesus, just like a lamb, a perfect lamb, He was slain. His blood was shed for you and I. It's that preciousness of the blood, that blood that ran out of His hands and His feet and down across His body. That blood was precious. It was shed for your sins and for my sins. I think my burden and my message this morning is, do we see how precious it is that this blood was made available for you and I, that we can have hope in heaven? Without that blood,
We would be all lost. We would all go to hell. But Jesus provided a lamb without blemish and without spot. And he was slain. His blood was shed. It had satisfied the heart of God for all those who look to him in faith and experience his salvation. May we turn to him as obedient children, walking in holiness, patterning our lives after God, allowing the Spirit of God to motivate us and to empower us to be little Christ here in this world. That we can be examples of Christ. That we continue the work that Christ started when he was here. Against us who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. See, this was for you and for me. All of those who believe in God, that raised up Jesus from the dead and gave him glory. This is the provision that is ours as we believe in God. As we believe in the resurrection, we believe in the finished work, we believe in the blood. This is the challenge. This is the provision for all of us. But if we don't believe, if we are unbelievers and disobedient, it is to no avail for us. Then again, it brings a responsibility, brings it back to us as what's supposed to happen in our life. It says, seeing ye purify your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. We purify our souls through walking in truth, through reading the Word and obeying the Word and walking in the Spirit. Thereby we become pure, we become more like Him, we become more holy. We become holy by purifying ourselves through obeying the Word, through living the life that Jesus designed for us to live. To live the life, to be like our Father. See that ye purify your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. How can we be like God if we don't have love? God is love. And that's one of those attributes that His children, as obedient children, we want to be like God. We want to be loving. We want to love the brethren. We want to love the truth. We want to love one another with a pure heart, fervently. And He says, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. The new birth. We become born again. We become new creatures through faith in this finished work of God. That the Spirit of God comes into our heart. It changes our life. It changes our desires. It changes our want to. We no longer want to do the things that we wanted to do, but we want to do the things that God wants us to do. Through the new birth, for the Spirit of God coming into our hearts and changing our lives. We become born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. We become born of God through the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Praise God. It says, for all flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. There again, we have the season that we pass through. You know, we're here, and we're not going to be here. We're here now, and we're not going to be here all the time. We're going to pass through. We're going to be gone, just like the grass. The grass, all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But there's one thing that's never going to change. It's never going to fall away. It's going to stand throughout all time and all eternity. It's the Word of God. This is our salvation. This is our hope. This is our foundation. The Word of God endureth forever. And this Word, which by the Gospel is preached unto you. Then we have another wherefore. Another wherefore in chapter 2. Because of this precious blood of Jesus and this sure foundation, this eternal foundation that we have, this eternal Word of God, and the eternal Father, the eternal Son, and this salvation that is ours by faith, it says, wherefore, because of this, lay aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisies, envies, and evil speakings. Be like God. Lay off these things and be like God. And it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I especially challenge a young Christian, and old ones as well. If you have that desire for the Word of God, at newborn babes, it says there should be a desire for the Word of God. That you should read the Word and allow the Word to speak to our heart through the Spirit. And you can grow. You can become strong. You become alive. You can become holy. This is the way to holiness. This is the way to becoming like God. Allowing the Word of God to come into our hearts and into our lives and growing thereby. Then he talks about the precious stone. He says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him should not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Is he precious to you this morning? Unto you that believe, he is precious. This life-changing, transforming experience of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is very precious. Usually when something is precious, it's scarce. There's not a lot of it. That's usually what makes something precious. And that's why The faith in Jesus and the experience of Jesus is precious because there's so many out there in the world that are groping in sin. They're in misery and they're in confusion and they're struggling in darkness. They don't have the Word of God in their hearts. And it should be precious to us to have the Word of God, and because of it, we should be out there seeking to share it with others. I think that should be a motivation. Talking about being like Jesus. What was His life about? It wasn't about just walking around being holy and being righteous, and that His whole life, His whole motivation was about the lost. That's all His life was about, reaching out and touching lives. The lost, the sick, the lonely, the rejected, the hurting. This was the whole ministry of Jesus. And I believe that it should be in our hearts today. With this precious salvation that we have, we should be willing and ready to share it to those around us. We should be a light in this dark world. We should be continuing the labors that Jesus had when He was here. Because it says here, "But unto them that be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. A stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed." Here we see that there are those that are going to not accept it. There are those that are going to be going to reject it. There are those that are going to be disobedient. It becomes a rock of offense, a stumbling at the word. But it says, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." We are different. We're different, not because of what we've done, not because of who we are, but because Christ is within us. Because of that faith in the Lord Jesus, that faith in the preciousness of the Word, it should make us different. The world, the lost, the unsaved, they're not holy. We're called to be holy. We're called to be different. We cannot run after the things that the world runs after in all of its ungodliness, fashioning ourselves according to the former lusts. But we run after the things that Jesus loves. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him that hath called you out of darkness unto His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people. No, we have nothing to brag about. We have nothing to brag about of ourselves. We were not a people. But we are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So it doesn't make us any better than anybody else. The only difference is we've received it and they haven't received it. We've received this precious gift from God. This precious blood of Christ by faith. And those out there have not received it. That's the only difference. And my challenge to us this morning is that we have our hearts surrendered to God, that our life, our testimony will reach out and will convince others of this great salvation. It is a precious salvation. It is a precious gift.
As in time past, we were not a people. But now, we are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Do you know about the war? Do you know anything about the war? The fleshly lusts that war against the soul? There's an enemy out there that's warring against you. He wants to tear you down. He wants to destroy your faith. He wants to defile you. It says, abstain from this fleshly lust. All we need to do is give in just a little bit, and the devil just takes a hold of us. He'll take a hold of us and he'll take us down. We must abstain from those fleshly lusts that war against the soul. That's a challenge. In the world that we're living, there are fleshly lusts all around us. There is so much sin and immorality. But gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you. Keep your focus on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your focus on heaven. Keep your focus on that which is out before. That's the only hope we have, is to keep our focus in Christ and that which lies before us. It says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Let's live our lives in such a way that the world around us will see and will take notice, and will see that there is a difference, that there is a holiness to be had. There is a life of holiness. A life of holiness will make a difference in the world. People will see that there is a difference. Let's not try to be like the world in every way we can, but let's be like Jesus. Let's be like Jesus in every way we can. Through the grace of God and the Spirit of God living in us and working out through us, that we can bring glory to God, and that those around us can see, and that God can be glorified. That's what our life is all about. That God can be glorified. Is God being glorified in your life? Is God being glorified in my life? I take this challenge to myself. I believe that God has better things for us. Better things than just trying to defend who we are and what we are. But I believe God has a holiness that will make a difference in this world. I believe we are called unto holiness to experience the reality of the presence of God in our lives through the presence of His Spirit every day. That's my challenge to each one of us this morning. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And this motivation is not something just so we're up here and others are down here. But it's because God has provided us the precious blood of Jesus, the precious gift of salvation through the blood of the Lamb and the precious workings of His Spirit and of His presence in our lives today. So my challenge is, let's give ourselves to Him and let the outworking of that make a difference in our life. Love the things that He loves. Hate the things that He hates. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.
Almighty God, our Father in heaven, we pause before You this day again to worship You. We thank You for the precious blood of Jesus. We thank You for the precious Word of God. We thank You for the precious faith. Thank You for the precious rock. And Lord, for the precious trials. Lord, may we allow it to sink into our hearts this morning that our lives will be patterned after the righteousness of Jesus Christ dwelling within us. Lord, that we might hunger after the Word of God as newborn babes desire the milk of the Word. We might not have a famine of the Word like we heard in Sunday school, but that we have a hunger for the Word, that we can grow and become strong and become holy people as You would call us to be holy, O God. Lord, we love You. We give ourselves to You. Bless us as we go from here. In Jesus' name we pray.